Welcome back to the Sunday Night Health Show. Maureen McGrath hosting this program for you. Thank you so much for being here with me tonight. We're talking about having babies. You know what? It's not that easy for everybody. Even Brigitte Nielsen, the actress at the age of 54, is welcoming her fifth child. And this is flying the flag for older mothers. So, you know, you got to wonder, how did that happen? Well, Marissa Elliott joins me. She's in studio with me now. She is going through a fertility journey, and she's going to share some of the issues that she's experienced and what it's like when you're walking that path. Thank you so much for joining me in studio tonight.
Thank you for having me, Maureen. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
You know,
Go ahead. Share your story, girlfriend.
You know, this journey was not something that I expected. It was definitely a surprise. I think after we got married and we started trying right away, and I just expected to get pregnant within a few months of trying. All my close friends around me, my sister, everyone got pregnant within a few months. And I had no idea at that time about infertility and the struggle that so many women are going through.
And now, did you delay trying to have a baby for one reason or another?
Yeah, we started, I was 35, and I mean, now that I understand the statistics and the decrease in egg quality after age 30, which I had no idea about, I probably would have, you know, been a bit more on it. But I was busy running a business and looking for the right guy, and until I found my husband that I'm with, my partner Chris, I wasn't, babies wasn't on my mind. He was the first person I was like, I want to have a baby with this guy. And I really did not think we would have a problem. I just expected we'd get pregnant.
Right. And so you were married at 35?
Yes.
And trying right away,
yeah,
right out of the gates?
Right away. Wedding night, we're doing this.
Right.
And I had no idea what was to come.
And how long has it been?
27 months.
27 months.
I am counting.
Yes, you are certainly counting. 2 hours, 5 minutes, 37 seconds.
Yeah.
So it's been a 27 over a 2 year journey,
yeah,
for you. And
yeah.
What are some of the things that people say to you about this?
Oh, wow. Where do I start? You know, it's funny. I was thinking about this before I came on, and I was actually talking to my husband about this on the ferry ride back from the island this morning. Just all the unsolicited advice that I've gotten over 2 years of, you know, in the process of making the baby. And
what are some of the things people say?
You know, you should just stop trying. And everyone has a story about their neighbor who tried and tried and didn't get pregnant, and then they stopped trying and they got pregnant, or they went on vacation after trying for 3 years and they got pregnant.
Right.
As soon as you let go, maybe you'll get pregnant. And
right,
you know,
there's a bit of a blame culture on this, isn't there?
Oh, for sure. And it seems like it was always coming. Now that I'm in this point and I can think back to, you know, what it was like when I was getting the advice, it was always coming from people who got pregnant easily, who didn't share the experience.
Right.
So it was very hard to receive, because someone's telling you who got pregnant so quickly to just let go. Maybe that'll help it.
Exactly. And so just letting go didn't work, and stopping trying didn't work, and all those myths out there didn't work. And so now you actually posted a video on Facebook in preparation for an upcoming TEDx talk. And you've gotten a lot of responses from other,
yeah,
women out there who are going through the same pain of this journey.
Yeah. It's been amazing. You know, after my experience of getting all the advice, and a lot of advice as well, I should share, I took, and I do want to say also, that advice came from a good place.
Of course.
Everyone's intent was to help.
Human beings, yes. They want to help. They want to be the hero.
And I did follow.
They want to be the one.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone has a success story.
Exactly.
And I appreciate it. And you know what? Had I not gone through it, I probably would have done the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I followed the advice. I stopped eating green salads, stopped eating cold, did a meditation course. I really did take the advice. But after going through it for a period of time, the more that it didn't work, I didn't want to talk about it with those people anymore.
Right.
And I isolated a lot. And so that's what brought me to a point of, you know, I chose who I talked to, and I kept the issue to myself. I spoke to my husband. He was an amazing support.
And one of the issues, though, around this that can happen for couples is that sex can become clinical. And this is what I've heard. Even after the baby is born, it's because it started in such a clinical way that, mm-hmm, sex, you know, a lot of couples have difficulty getting back to the bedroom, so to, mm-hmm, speak, and getting back at it, because they associate this with, you know, effort when it's maybe inconvenient, or maybe one doesn't feel like it. And so it has a real clinical
It definitely changes. It definitely changes your sex life. Yes.
Get home right now. It's time.
Okay, well, I always swore Arizona. I would not be that person, and I became that person.
Of course.
Yeah, yes. It's been refreshing now that we've gone through IVF to just become ourselves again. And, you know, we have our embryos now that are on ice, and I feel like we can kind of take a breather for a bit. And
how long did it take you before you sought fertility treatments?
I was pretty eager. I went to see my doctor at 4 months of trying, and I was like, okay, what's the process? How long do I need to wait before I can get into a fertility clinic? She said after 35, it's 6 months of trying. So I was there at 6 months and one day at my doctor's office saying, I want a referral to a fertility clinic.
Right.
And we went in right away and we went through the process, but you know, we got the unexplained infertility diagnosis, which is when nothing's wrong with either of you and there's nothing they can explain it.
Right.
And that's quite a frustrating one for most people because you want something that you can fix.
Did you want to fix it? And so you're going through in vitro now?
Yes.
And what does that entail?
Well, that changes. That also changes the romance between you and your partner. Chris was injecting me with three injections a day. And he was an amazing support. I've spoken to women who are going through this alone who have come to a point where they don't have a partner and, they just don't want to wait and they want to have babies. And, you know, I spoke to one woman who's gone through it she's on her seventh round of IVF.
And this is an expensive proposition.
Yeah.
If
you do all the add-ons, like you can do a bunch of add-ons, all the genetic testing, and you're looking between 20 and 25,000.
A time?
Yeah.
Each time?
Yeah.
And how many times have you gone through this?
This is our first. And I feel very grateful that we have two healthy, genetically tested, viable embryos on ice right now.
Fantastic. And the next step, I imagine, is
putting the embryo in
inside. Yes. And getting pregnant
and trying to stay sane in the process because I'm on a lot of hormones right now.
Of course. Well, I wish you all the best of luck with this, and I know that the next time you come in the studio you're either going to have a big bump or a beautiful baby.
Hopefully yes. Well, and I just encourage people as well to just speak, you know, share with your friends, be open, be vulnerable, because the more you share, in my process, so many women that are going through this have come to me and shared their stories, and it takes away that feeling alone, and it really makes the process so much easier.
When we share our stories, we empower other women and girls. I am Maureen McGrath. You're listening to the Sunday Night Health Show.
You've been listening to a 980 CKNW podcast. Listen live at cknw.com, the Radio Player Canada app, TuneIn, Amazon Alexa, HD Radio at 101.1 FM HD2, and on the AM dial, 980 CKNW.